Well, we are here with Beth Seifert. She's our Bible study teacher, and she is taking us through 1 Samuel. It's a wonderful Bible study. You can find all the notes on our Bible Studies tab, along with the podcasts. And we just highly encourage you to use the materials and have your own guided Bible studies. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey, Amy. Glad to be here today. Before we jump on into the passage for today, I just want to remind everyone where we left off yesterday. Samuel was speaking to the people and was pleading with them to consider what they had asked God for. Today we're going to hear how he pleads with them and what he tells them to try to show them how heinous their request for a king really was. So today, consider how Samuel's words as prophet here reflect Jesus' words as the perfect prophet, letting us know how God is faithful and how desperately we need a Savior. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 8 through 15. This is Samuel speaking to the people. When Jacob went into Egypt and the Egyptians oppressed them, then your fathers cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. And he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them, and they cried out to the Lord and said, "We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, that we may serve you." And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Barak and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you lived in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, "No, but a king shall reign over us," when the Lord your God was your king. And now behold the king whom you have chosen, for whom you have asked. Behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, it will be well. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you and your king. And I love how Samuel does this, how he lays this all out. He starts by telling the Israelites their own story, and he lets their own hearts convict them and convince them of their wrongdoing. God was their king above Pharaoh, above any other man. He rescued them from Egypt, from Hazor and the Philistines, and showed his constancy and their wishy-washiness, which I have decided is a word today. God was and is always faithful to the covenant he has made with his people, even when they are not faithful. And this is a time in the history of the nation of Israel when they, once again, have been unfaithful to God and broken the covenant by insisting that they needed a man over them instead of God. Their ancestors forgot God and worshipped idols, so God allowed them to be broken apart and become slaves again. They repented and asked God for forgiveness, and God sent rescue for his people, keeping his covenant with them, right up through to Samuel's time. Samuel reminds them of Jerubbaal in this retelling too. Jerubbaal was also known as Gideon. Gideon was the judge of Israel who was called by God on the threshing floor and ended up leading 300 men into battle against hundreds of thousands of their enemies, but on God's terms, and Gideon and his men won with a shout. You can find that story in Judges chapters 6 through 8. In that, their true king rescued them, disciplined them, cared for them, and they still wanted a human? Samuel's final caution in these verses is that you had all better behave yourselves. He tells them if they and their king obey God, they'll be fine. But if they rebel against what God commands, his hand will be against them and their king. And that's not something I would want. They still need to understand that their priority relationship is with God, not with Saul or with any other human king. The kingship was granted to them, but it was to be an instrument of God's rule over them more than anything else. Israel's loyalty to God must remain pure and unmarred. The Israelites' persistent failure in remembering the Lord is heart-wrenching. They just kept falling into the same traps over and over again. What strikes me the most about this is how hard the Israelites seem to fight against being set apart by God. At every turn, they turn away from Him. At the slightest hint of trouble, they fall away. And how little we have changed. Even with His Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, we all struggle with the same things today that they did back then. We all keep putting things in front of God, putting our faith and trust in things other than Him, when He is the most important. I'm going to say something that may frighten or even upset someone, but the truth is, my hope and my security is not in the United States of America or its president or the government. Ladies, the land that we live in, the air we breathe, the food we eat is all from Him. We can get so caught up in politics or the environment or in science, but in the end, the most important thing is God. It doesn't matter if we are living in a nation of our own creation with our own leaders chosen, or if we're living as slaves, because God is still sovereign. The Israelites were in Egypt for 430 years, and while we don't know what large of a portion of that 430 years they were slaves, even if it was half of that time, God was still in control then. He still cared for them and protected them. And when it was time, He sent rescue for them. He is the ultimate King, and He is our King. When you look around you today at whatever country, state, or county that you are living in, remember, men are not the ultimate. The nation is not the ultimate. God is still God, and He is constant and in control forever. Follow Him as beloved daughters, no matter what is going on in the world around you. In fact, look at the world around you. Remind yourselves that what you're seeing here shows you are an alien here. This world is not your home. Look to your true home and to God, and let Him lead and care for you. Remember, Samuel the prophet spoke these words to remind the people of who they serve and show them ever more clearly their need for God to save them, not for Saul to save them, but for God. And guess what? The Savior that they needed, God did send Him. He sent Jesus. God sent God in the flesh, because God was still the only one who could save any of us, who could save you or I. So He came, our King, not thundering in conquering the Romans, but riding on a donkey, being led to His death to pay the price for you and for me. That is my King. He chose to die for me. And I pray that I will continue to choose this day and every day to serve Him above all. So my question today is pretty simple. What about you? Are you serving Him today? Or are you still putting other things in front of God? Are you expecting the government of the country you live in to provide for your comfort and for your well-being and for all of those things that you want so desperately? Think about it. There's a quote by Jim Elliot that says, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." He wrote those words just a short time before he went to the Amazon and was killed for sharing his faith in Jesus. He gained what he could not lose, an eternity with Christ. So think about where you're at today and talk to God about it. And if you haven't already, give your heart to Him.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.